Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now though, large landlords will be prohibited from implementing no-fault evictions under a plan to be brought to Cabinet by Minister for Housing James Brown. Under this plan, which was approved by coalition leaders last night, rent pressure zones are to be extended across the country to cover every tenancy. The RPZs are to be retained for existing tenancies with rents linked to inflation or capped at 2%, whichever is lower. However, new bills will not be subject to the RPZ cap and rent will be linked solely to inflation. We'll get reaction to all of this in a moment, but first, to explain the expected changes, we're joined by Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter with the Irish Independent. Good morning, Tabitha.
Morning, Claire.
So according to what we're hearing, this agreement that has been reached between the party leaders, every tenancy in the country is going to be brought under the rent pressure zone legislation. Ministers are discussing it at the full cabinet meeting this morning. But what do we know about what's in the plan?
Yeah, so we have got a little bit more detail. We had heard quite a bit over the weekend about these new plans in relation to rent pressure zones. There were going to be changes coming down the line because the current regulations were going to expire at the end of the year. So it had been well flagged that there were going to be some changes to the system of rent pressure zones. As you said, every tenancy in the country is going to be brought under a rent pressure zone. So that will mean that about one-fifth of tenants in Ireland who aren't currently in a rent pressure zone, they're going to benefit from these rent controls. So that's one element of it. It's also understood that this will also include an end to no-fault evictions in the case of large landlords. So when we're trying to differentiate with what is a large landlord or a smaller landlord, that's also part of this memo. So James Brown, the Housing Minister, he has decided that they're going to be categorised, which is the first time. All landlords at the moment are treated the same. So smaller landlords will be considered anybody who has properties, three properties or less, whereas a large landlord will be four or more. And that will mean that there will be a ban on no-fault evictions for large landlords. Mm-hmm. There will also, in relation to the resetting of rents, it'll only be allowed for landlords if the tenant leaves voluntarily. So if a landlord, for example, serves a tenant a notice to quit, the landlord won't be allowed to reset the rent. So it's only if a tenant decides to leave themselves. And the reason for that is that the government want to remove this economic incentive, essentially, for landlords to evict their tenants, which was one thing that the opposition in particular were quite vocal on, was that you can't bake in this economic incentive to encourage evictions of renters.
Mm-hmm. So just going back to what you said there, Tabitha, that the landlord will only be allowed to reset the rent if the tenant leaves voluntarily. Does that mean that the RPZ in that case doesn't apply? So the landlord, if the tenant decides to go, the landlord can set the rent at whatever they think the market will bear?
I think that we're still trying to find out exactly what the details are on this, but we have heard over the last few days in relation to resetting of rents and that the market rents. And I think what the government are trying to do with these proposals is trying to balance the protection for renters, but also trying to stimulate supply. And we know that it's such an issue at the moment. It's the number one issue in relation to the housing crisis. And because there's been such a fall off in the building of apartments in particular, I think what the government are trying to do is to try and encourage landlords, so that this is one of the ways that they can do it, that they will be allowed to reset the rents and apply this new rent when the tenant leaves. So that's one way of doing it. But also when we consider new bills, they will not be part of this 2% cap. That will be in line with inflation.
Mm-hmm. So do you think what we've seen here in the changes that have emerged overnight, that there's been a beefing up of the plan in favour of renters, because we've had such outcry from the opposition and from those who work in the housing sector?
What I'm being told is that in relation in particular to the bringing all tenancies within an RPZ, that this actually isn't new. It just wasn't made public that this was already kind of agreed. So there isn't necessarily changes to what we had heard floated over the weekend in relation to this memo. But I think the government has always said that they want to protect renters, and that any changes to the rent pressure zone system would have to ensure that renters were going to be disproportionately affected. And again, that was something that the opposition were saying that they weren't going to tolerate that, you know, any changes to the rent pressure zone system, that you know, there was the potential for the likes of water charge like protests to happen if renters were going to be impacted by it. Mm-hmm. But something that the opposition are taking, I think, issue with is that idea that new bills won't be included as part of the rent cap now. So while the rest of the country will be in an RPZ in relation to current tenancies, any new bills won't be part of that. And I think that's going to be potentially an issue down the line, because those renters who go in won't have the same protections as other renters. So we will still have this two-tier system.
Tabitha, thank you very much for explaining it to us. That's Tabitha Monaghan there from the Irish Independent. We're also joined by Maurice Deverill from the Irish Property Owners Association and Rory Hearn, Social Democrats TD for Dublin North West and spokesperson for the party on housing. And Rory, I'll come to you first. Do you welcome what has been done? Because there is a theory, despite what Tabitha says there, that the decision to expand the RPZs was always there. There is a theory that this has been done to, because of the concerns about the opposition that we heard to these changes over the weekend.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's important to start. We don't fully know exactly what has been proposed, and you know, but taken on the basis of what we've heard and what's been reported, I think there are a number of aspects to point out here. Firstly, is we did make it very, very clear as Social Democrats, as an opposition, that we were completely opposed to any changes that would make things worse for renters. And we did put a very strong emphasis on the need to improve tenant protection in terms of security and tenure and evictions. And the introduction of a no-fault eviction ban was something that we looked for. Now, unfortunately, it seems that this is going to be restricted to tenants of what are being now called large landlords, which leaves essentially half of all tenancies, which is in the region of 500,000 people who are in landlords who own between one and four properties, exposed still to no-fault evictions, to ongoing evictions and homelessness. So it doesn't give protection to renters. It gives some protection to some renters. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really important. And I think the other issue is, ultimately, the government said that what this was about, you know, incentivizing supply. This is what the whole point in making the changes. And what is very clear is that there is an incentive, two key measures in terms of incentivizing supply from their perspective. One is this removing of the new build units from the rent pressure zone system, essentially, and allowing the cap, moving it from the cap and allowing it the increase to be inflation. This is hugely problematic into the future. You will have tenants who are, you know, now young people who are living at home, basically been told your future housing is going to be left to the market in terms of what, you know, prices are going to go by, what inflation is at. But the other big issue here is the in-between tenancies, the allowing landlords to increase rents in between tenancies to market rates. And I know it's been mooted that there will be, you know, this qualification of that in relation to if the tenant leaves voluntarily. But, you know, this is going to incentivize shorter term leases. It is going to incentivize economic evictions. There's no getting away from that.
Well, it will lead
to increased rents mm-hmm. across the board. It will lead. And this is really clear. This is government policy has been to increase rents. So I'm deeply disappointed that these measures are still in there.
Yeah. Isn't it the case here, though, that most tenancies are between 1 and 3 years, and then you'll have a tenant moving on, meaning that the landlord then can increase the rent to whatever they think the market will bear?
But the point is here, the problem in the private rental sector in Ireland is, number one, the rents are already way too high. They are unaffordable as they are. And this argument that, you know, landlords should be able to just increase the rent to the market rent in between tenancies, like, we have to just peel this back for a minute and look at what exactly are we saying. We're saying that landlords should be able to increase the rent to the market rent, which is absolutely unaffordable. Like, we're talking 2,500, 3,500 for rental properties. So what we're going to see from these measures is rents increase even further. And how is this acceptable in the middle of an emergency? So we're still saying very clearly we are opposed to these changes that will lead to increased rents.
Okay, but you see,
the other question is, there's no incentive. Like, where is the guarantee there will be new supply out of this.
Okay, well, that's the balance we know the government is trying to strike. We're trying to protect renters. In fact, the minister on his way into cabinet saying we put renters front and centre today. But they're also trying to promote investment and have more apartments built. I mean, if this is successful in doing that, will it not have worked? Will it not have achieved its aim, Rory?
No, because what they'll have done is incentivised a supply of unaffordable housing. If the way that they're going about this is we need to increase rents so high that build-to-rent investors will build, they're not the type of housing that we need, that our young people can afford, that people will actually give people a secure, affordable home. We need a different type of supply. And we've made this argument. There are different ways we can invest to deliver housing that's actually affordable. We don't need and shouldn't be relying on essentially throwing renters under the bus. That's what they're doing. They're making renters pay for housing policy failures.
Stay with us there, because I want to bring in Maurice at this point, Maurice Deverill from the Irish Property Owners Association. Maurice, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Very much, Claire.
So Rory's take on this is that landlords will be able to increase the rent in between tenancies up to the market value or whatever they think the market will take. Do you welcome that?
Look, it had to be done. And the reason it had to be done that was under yesterday's system, you had to leave a property vacant for 2 years if you wanted to bring it up to market rent. And there are a lot of properties that are way below market rent that are unaffordable to actually keep going. And that's why so many landlords have left the market, is that they can't afford to stay in it. The demand is phenomenally high. I personally have had a vacancy a little while ago, and I had 200 applicants, I had 80 phone calls, and I had 30 people who came out to view it. That meant there were 29 people who were disappointed. This is a ridiculous system for a rental system in Ireland. There shouldn't be that case. We have young people who are living at home in their family bedroom until nearly 40. You've quadrupling of homelessness since the RPZs came in, and you've no choice or freedom of people as in where they want to live. For instance, if you have a tenant in Dunleary who gets a job in Walkinstown, they will not find a place easily in Walkinstown because the demand is way too high. Previous to this and previous to rent controls, we had 40 years and we didn't have mad rents and we didn't have everything going up and everything else. We know that RPZs push up the price of rent. It has shown this numerous times.
We don't have the supply now to satisfy the demand. And if landlords, and I'm not saying you would do this, but, you know, landlords see the opportunity to charge more for their properties, of course they're going to do it, but it's not going to increase supply, certainly not in the short to medium term.
Well, if the thing was affordable, so many landlords would not be leaving. So therefore, we know that landlords are leaving, especially in the ones, twos, up to 10 group of properties. So from that point of view, because they're leaving, that brings down supply. We need to encourage more of those landlords back into the market. The idea that the government have come up with the investment funds, I can understand. And in fairness, investment funds, bear in mind, only pay 25% tax, where we pay 50-odd percent tax. But so they're getting that as well. But the problem is that investment funds primarily rely on Dublin, Cork. They rely on the big cities. They don't actually rely in country areas. And we're bringing in RPZs throughout the whole country. And I have empathy with the rural areas down the country that have not been in an RPZ so far, who are going to go into one, because the first thing they're going to see is that the supply is going to drop there, exactly the same as the flour coming from Ukraine during the Russian war. When supply drops, prices go up. It's a fact of life. So from that point of view, I feel I do. I have empathy with the people down the country now, because those areas going into RPZs in a couple of years' time will go up an awful lot in price.
But overall, it seems to me that you welcome these measures from Cabinet if they come to pass today.
We welcome the part of, no, we don't, no, because the RPZs, we don't welcome at all. They've been in for 10 years. There's been no proper review done on them.
Yeah, but the huge change is that if your tenant decides to leave,
there isn't a huge,
but you can then go out to the market and charge what you think you can get for the place. You couldn't do that before if you were in an RPZ.
You could if you left it vacant for 2 years.
Yeah, but that's not. I mean, you've explained that's not practical. Yeah. So this is a big change for landlords.
Well, it can be practical. A lot of landlords would have put in the Ukrainians at the £800 for the 2 years, and that's how you would have. That's how that part worked. But are €800. But at the same time, that is a change, and that needed to happen. because otherwise places were being left vacant because they just were unaffordable to keep running. Obviously, if it's vacant, you don't have half the costs, so and you don't have any tax on it. So therefore, from a net point of view, it was not horrendously expensive to leave it vacant because the net income of it is relatively small.
Right. So I mean, you'd have to have a bit of a cushion now to be able to pay back a mortgage on a place and leave it vacant with nothing coming in on it for 2 years.
Look, it depends how many. You are right. You would need a little bit of a cushion, but it depends how badly it was, because you leave it vacant for 2 years. But let's say the market rent is twice what it is. You know, after the 2 years, you're then starting to claw back. And after 4 years, you're back to zero, which means that. And the problem really with it was that when you went to sell on the property, it was based on the value of what the rental income was. So from that point of view, it meant that if the rental income was very, very low on it, your actual capital value of the asset was diminished.
Okay, so this, it would have made sense. This is from a landlord's point of view, this is a good change and you welcome it.
This is a good change, but the RPZs need to go. Look, Britain, Labour Party, right? Probably more left than the Socialist Democrats. I'm not sure, you'd need to ask Rory. But they didn't bring in rent controls because they saw the damage they did. Scotland, exactly the same, brought them in and got rid of them. Rent controls limit supply phenomenally. It leaves young people in bedrooms until they're 40. It upsets the whole market. We didn't have this problem pre-RPZs coming in.
Okay, you feel that they limit supply. Obviously, the government feels that this is going to promote supply. It remains to be seen which way it's going to go. Thank you both for joining us, Rory Hearn there and Maurice Deverill. We're going to bring you more on that shooting, which is a developing situation in Austria this morning. But next up, a Galway school offering €2,000 to families of new pupils in a bid to retain their second teacher.